Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, let's get the depressing news out of the way. You're back from Walt Disney World.
Yes, and it's extremely depressing. But let's get the happy news in here. And that's, there aren't crickets behind me right now, and my audio quality is halfway decent again. So, yeah, I went back and listened to last week's episode, and I'm like, oh, did we really release that? I mean, I'm glad that we did it, but at the same time, those crickets were a lot louder than what I expected them to be.
They're your little cricket buddies.
That's right. That's right. But I did not invite them to this episode, so we are cricketless this week.
I listened to last week's episode, and I sounded really tired and disinterested. And I just want to, one, apologize to you, but two, apologize to our audience. I did not mean to sound like completely just like, oh my gosh, just let me go to bed. We recorded very, very late, much later than we usually do, because Brad watched Wishes. So I just wanted to acknowledge that I was appalled at how, like, just totally disinterested I sounded.
It was clear that it was well after Jeremy's bedtime, so he's going to make up it for it this week by being extra excited.
I've got a beer with a bunch of coffee in it. I'm good to go.
So you're properly caffeinated for our continued discussion of stuff Brad did at Disney. It's what everybody loves to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It's firsthand experience rather than us just talking about, well, I watched this video on YouTube, or
right,
we heard this most recent piece of news. You guys like hearing about that, so surely you guys want to hear about what I actually thought when I went. So we're going to talk about it hopefully just for one more episode, and then we can actually get back to news and stuff that interest everybody. So this week I thought we should start off by discussing some more logistical stuff about the trip.
Okay.
Which was one thing that I tried this trip that I have never done before and I will absolutely do from now on is I ordered some stuff with Amazon Prime Now and had it delivered to the hotel. The fun part was that because we got in at, you know, midnight or whatever, and Amazon Prime is from, I forget, something like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., our stuff actually was delivered to the hotel before we took off from Houston to get there. But, you know, we ordered like a case of water, some sodas, some Pop-Tarts, you know, just those little things that you like to have. And it was so nice to, you know, so that when we got back to the room after the park had closed, well after the, you know, the food court had closed for the evening or whatever, that there was some bottled water sitting in our room, in our fridge, nice and cold, or, you know, a soda if I wanted one. You know, and then when you get up in the morning and you're ready to head into the parks, and I don't want to go stop by the, you know, the food court in the morning for breakfast because
right,
I got up early enough to go, but I didn't get up early enough to go eat breakfast and then go to the parks. I could grab those Pop-Tarts or, again, you know, get back in the middle of the night and you did dinner at 7 and it's 11 and you want a little midnight snack. Well, there's a Pop-Tart there. So Prime Now was pretty inexpensive for what you were getting, you know. And we've done stuff like the Garden Grocer and some of that stuff, and I think the pricing was probably better than that. And again, it was all really simple to work out, so I suggest that, you know, especially if you've got a big family or something, maybe you want to order some of that stuff because you can save yourself a little bit of money. You know, you pay $4 for a 12 pack of soda versus $3.29 per soda if you go purchase it or at the food court, you know. So there was that. There's also the public service announcement that I want to give everyone, which is those fridges that are in the room at Disney, they have a little dial on them, and most of the time when we show up, because it happened this time, it happened last time, that dial is set so far up, you know, it's like one or two, so it's barely even cool, right? So then you go and you're like, well, that's not cold enough for my drinks or whatever. Don't crank that dial up to even, I think it goes to 6. Don't crank the dial up to even like 5.5, because 5.5 is too cold. So we had we you know, stocked the fridge on what was it, like Tuesday night or whatever, the night that we got there.
Right.
We got up the next morning, you know, I grabbed a soda out of there. We headed to the parks. We got back that night. Nancy opened the fridge and she's just like, I think you need to take a look at this. I walk over there. One of my sodas has exploded in the fridge. Yes, there was soda just all over the place. Some of it was melted. It was frozen solid to the back and top of the refrigerator. So I got to spend quite a bit of time and probably half of a box of tissues, because they don't give you, you know, because you don't have any paper towels. You have tissues and toilet paper. So probably half of a box of tissues cleaning up a fridge. So, you know, set that fridge on about a four, and that'll probably pay off a lot more. So, you know, just those two things logistically make a big difference. But like I said, I really enjoyed the I surprised how much I enjoyed having the Prime Now benefit of having that stuff there at my hotel.
I absolutely never would have thought to do that.
But you will now.
That is, yeah, it's super smart. Because, yeah, Prime Now, I mean, is not, there's not a real big upcharge for it. And if you have it delivered to the hotel lobby, I mean, will they just hold on to it for you?
So they will. And now the one thing that you need to remember is you can also have Amazon, just Amazon proper, ship you stuff to your hotel. Right, you can order it with your Prime 2 days before you get there, and it's going to be there when you get there. So when you go up to the desk, be sure to tell them, if you use the Now service, say I ordered it with Amazon Now, and it's going to be at Bell Services. It is not in the back, because we had quite the event for them trying to find my stuff. And honestly, I thought that somehow it had gotten lost because they could not find it. And actually what they were doing is they heard Amazon Prime, and so they were looking in the storage area for that rather than looking in Bell Services, which is apparently where Now delivers. So be sure to ask about that. I do know that if you are staying at a hotel that has a convention center, so for example, Coronado Springs, there can be additional fees involved with that. Disney charges a fee, and you'll have to look on the website to find out exactly what that is. But if you're staying, like I did at, you know, Port Orleans French Quarter, if you're staying somewhere that doesn't have a convention center, there's no charge for Weird. Them to take your stuff. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, convention centers have a lot more stuff shipped to them because people aren't carrying all of their pamphlets or whatever with them. And so Disney figured out they can make a little bit more money there. And admittedly, they probably need a lot more space to store all of the stuff that people have shipped to them. But for now, anyway, you can have that stuff shipped to you free of charge. You know, of course, the wonderful Bell Services guy loaded everything up on his cart, which I really appreciated, because I don't know how I thought I was going to carry 24, you know, bottles of water and a 12-pack of Coke and a couple of bags of stuff to my room. But, you know, so I tipped him. But still, again, that was relatively inexpensive and way inexpensive compared to what you would pay Disney for any of that stuff.
Right, right.
Well, so cool. that was all the room stuff. I also... Oh gosh, I hate to harp on this, because I feel like we harp on this all the time, but I actually kept track of all of my so if you remember correctly, I had my $800 gift card, right?
Right.
And we pretty much fell right into that $800 range. I may have put $20 or $30 on my credit card in addition to that for our trip, but if we had done the standard dining plan, which is one quick service, one table service, two snacks, and your mug, that would have cost us $693. And that would have been before any gratuity that you leave at any of your restaurants, right?
Right, right.
And I did the math, and essentially, once you took gratuity off, we spent basically in that range.
Yeah,
and
sounds like you broke even.
Well, but here's the difference. In doing so, we ate at that includes 5 table service credits per person, because that was a 5-night stay, right?
Right.
We ate at 7 table service restaurants, and 2 of those table service restaurants were signature dining, which would have each used 2 table service credits.
Oh, yeah.
So we essentially used the equivalent of 9 table service credits and paid about the same amount. And again, it's all about how it breaks down for you and your family. So I suggest you do the math. But this just told me definitively that is not for us, because again, we enjoy doing a lot more table service than quick service. We don't always order the most expensive thing on the menu, though. Again, I never looked at a menu and went, well, I'm not going to order that because that costs too much. I just didn't look at the menu and go, well, that's the thing I've got to get because it's the most expensive thing on the menu.
Right.
Dining plan didn't work for us.
I've never had to consider that even, because Claire and I have always gone during free dining. You know, so like if it's free dining, it you know, get the dining plan. You know, it's not going to make you any difference at all.
Unless there's a good room discount.
Well, sure. I mean, do the math, but if you're wanting, you know, if you're wanting the dining plan or whatever and it's free dining, it makes it a lot easier. But yeah, that's interesting that you spent, you know, basically the same amount of money, but you got
way
more
table service.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't get our mugs. We didn't get our two snacks. So we did have, included on that, in that total, we did have some snacks here or there. Like Nancy wanted to get a juice, or, you know, I stopped and got a, like one morning I went out and had breakfast, and I actually, you know, did breakfast at least one of the 2 days that I got up early enough to do it, and just did it all with like snack items, because I don't want a full breakfast, but I kind of want this and I kind of want that. So I would have been using those snack credits in that case, but we came out ahead. So just that reminder to do your math, because it can indeed come out the same price with a lot better food. In my opinion, table service is way better than quick service at Walt Disney World. Or, you know, you can come out cheaper if you want to do the same sort of dining that the dining plan would offer you, perhaps.
Indeed.
So, and man, we went by, so the two quick service that we did Casey's.
Yeah.
Which they didn't have your fancy stone ground mustard or whatever. So I got there.
That's
their,
a real shame. That's a really good.
Yeah, that's gone. That's gone. That's no longer there. So instead I got the, what do they call that now? The featured hot dog or whatever. And it was
some kind of monstrosity.
Yes. Yes. It was the taco dog or whatever. And of course, you know, they ask if you want foot long or regular. Stupid me. I said foot long.
Well, duh.
Those things are ridiculous. Well, yeah. Cause it was like $2, but
yeah,
it was crazy, dude, because the hot dog was huge. and then all the stuff they added on top of it, and the way the roll fit, basically I ate the hot dog first and then I ate the roll and all the other stuff separate.
The one that I get, the one that's like a sausage, it's like a Polish sausage,
there is no,
and all the stuff.
Yeah. The thing that's not there anymore.
Yeah. That is just borderline able to eat with your hands. You know, some of their footlong stuff with all the toppings, you have to eat that with a knife and fork.
Yeah,
I mean,
which
it's just impossible to wrangle it with your hands.
Yeah, and that's not really doable when you're sitting on the sidewalk and like trying to balance the tray on your lap, and you've got your drink over to the side, and you're trying not to get hit by people because everybody's crowding in as they try to get their spot for fireworks. It was interesting, and was not a huge fan of the taco dog, but it probably won't be there when you guys go. So, you know, check out whatever the featured hot dog is, and let me know if maybe some of the other featured hot dogs are a little bit better. Because that, again, I like the flavor of the actual hot dog itself, of the sausage in there. But other than that, meh on that. And then we went to Cosmic Rays, and maybe it's because we went after fireworks, because we went after we watched Happily Ever After. And
boy,
maybe
that
it's
was late.
Yeah, maybe it's because it was so late or something, but the hamburger was just not great at all. It was a quick service hamburger, but I don't know, the bun was dry, the meat was sat. It was a disappointing quick service meal.
You got the day's leftovers.
Yeah.
That late, you know.
Though as many people were in there, I don't see how you could have had leftovers. But maybe they were really churning them out before fireworks, because there were so many people there. And yeah, maybe we got the leftovers, but yeah, I don't know. And again, those were my only two experiences with quick service this trip.
Boy, that's crazy.
It just seemed, that everything else was table. And I don't know, man. I was just not really that impressed with anything that I had. So
yeah.
Oh, well, next time Pandora will be open and I can try all those cool, because I am excited about some of their quick service options.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Satuli Canteen or whatever looks great.
Mm-hmm. But if I do that, then I've got to not go eat at Tiffin's. And Tiffin's is awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Tiffin's over in Animal Kingdom. So we did the Rivers of Light viewing package, which is essentially you pay $67.50, I think it was. And that included your appetizer, your entree, and your dessert. And also gave you a... basically kind of like a fast pass for the Rivers of Light viewing. And, you know, you sign up for you're doing dining for the first viewing or you're doing dining for the second viewing when you make your reservation. And so I'd reserved first viewing or whatever. And wow, that place is just, it's beautiful inside. The food was amazing. I started off with a grilled octopus for my appetizer.
What?
Oh yeah, it was so like I'm not always a fan of octopus and stuff because I don't like it being all rubbery and stuff, but it was not at all. It was perfectly cooked. It had a great flavor to it. And then they have their it's like Wagyu beef and some like 72-hour braised rib thing. That was awesome, incredible. And then they had like a chocolate ganache for dessert, which was super, super tasty. And honestly, when you looked at the menu, if you would have gotten all of those things separately, you would have paid more than $67.50.
Huh.
So it was actually a discount to do this. And again, it all comes down to kind of like with the dining plan, what you choose to eat while you're there. But those weren't, I didn't just order those things because they were the most expensive things on the menu or anything. I ordered those things because they were the most popular things there. And I asked my waiter, I said, well, what would you pick? And he's like, honestly, if I hadn't been here, you know, if this is your first time, these are the things that I would go with because these are the really popular things.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And again, at the end, you get your little Rivers of Light viewing thing, so you don't have to go wait in line. And they give us a popcorn bucket.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is, you know, which once you have your popcorn bucket, it's $1. Now, of course, my wife has an allergy to corn, so I wasn't getting popcorn. But if you could, that popcorn bucket is $1.50 refills of popcorn.
What?
For the length of your stay. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think the first one is like $14 or something like that, mm-hmm. You know, comes filled. And then every refill after that is $1.50. Well, Tiffin's will give you one for free. Well, you know, after you've spent, $183 or whatever it was, they'll give you one for quote unquote free. And you can get your $1.50 refills. And you also get a little card that has a Animal Kingdom sketch by Joe Rohde.
Oh, cool.
So,
man, $1.50 is approaching the actual value of the amount of popcorn that would go in that bucket.
I feel more like $1.50 is approaching what I would pay for that amount of popcorn outside of Disney.
Or a movie theater.
Yeah. Because the amount, you know, the value of the popcorn in there is probably something like 15 cents.
Yeah.
But yes, it's definitely much better than the $4 and something that the box of popcorn, that's about the same amount, would cover. But yes, I strongly suggest if you have the opportunity to go eat at Tiffin's, you take advantage of that and go and eat at Tiffin's. And again, take advantage of the Rivers of Light viewing if you're interested in doing the, you know, entirety of a meal there. It is 100% worth it because our viewing was at 9:15, and they told us you need to get there 15 to 35 minutes before time. So the entrance area for Rivers of the Light viewing for this is over in Dinoland. So we went over to Dinoland, and we were like, well, let's burn some time. And Nancy hates Primeval World. I really enjoy doing Primeval World. So we went and did Dinosaur, and then I went and did Primeval World 4 times while we were waiting. Well, okay, so what I would do is I opened up my phone, and I got a fast pass, right? And then I walked up, scanned my band, walked up to the merge point where the fast pass and standby go. They allowed me through, and I, you know, stand in the short line. And while I'm standing in the short line, I have my phone open, and I got another fast pass for Primeval Whirl that would be valid by the time that, you know, because you could get a fast pass for maybe 5 minutes in the future.
Right.
They had them available. There was a when I first got there, there was a 20-minute wait for that attraction, which is probably 5 to 10 minutes in the standby line and then the after merge point line. By the time I was done, it was 10 minutes, which basically means it's walk on either way.
Yeah.
But still, I was excited that I kept getting fast passes and could keep on doing it. But yeah, so you know, I rode that far too many times and got off. You know, and it's maybe 30 minutes till. And I said, well, I guess we should probably go ahead and head that way. We headed that way, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, so we'll go get in the dining package line, right?
Yeah.
And we'll wait to get in with, and they'll take us to the dining package area or whatever. No, we walked up. We gave them the two little cards that we had gotten. They, you know, ripped them in half, handed us back half, and we walked right in and sat down.
Huh.
So we didn't have to wait. And when we got there, again, which was probably 25 to 30 minutes before, there was still great seating left in the dining package area. And there were so many people waiting in line hoping to get seats into this thing, man. And, like, people had gotten in line, you know, an hour and a half before. So we were able to just walk up, walk right in. Saved money on dinner. I mean, I couldn't find a downside to this whole Rivers of Light viewing package. If you want to go do Rivers of Light.
Crazy. So there was limited seating for non-dining package people.
There was still pretty significant seating. Now,
were there more people in line than there were seats?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. If you do standby for that, it's not a guarantee. Though I've heard most people say that, especially if you just try to do the second viewing, it's not a problem at all.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it got really crowded when they finally opened the standby seating. So if you're going to do first viewing, I would definitely suggest getting a fast pass or doing the dining plan. Not the dining plan, but the Rivers of Light viewing package,
right,
in order to get in there. Though, you know, again, like, I saw a lot of people waiting in the standby line, but at the same time, as I'm pulling fast passes for as I'm pulling fast passes for Primeval Whirl, with the first one that I got, I saw Rivers of Light viewing on there as an available fast pass. So people could have gotten those fast passes, but I don't think everybody is as... I think a lot of people, when they go to Disney, they get their three fast passes, and they think that that's it for the day, you know? And
yeah.
Maybe they stop by the kiosk one time, but not everybody's got the, you know, My Disney Experience app on their mobile device or whatever.
Well, and you used to have to go to the kiosk, didn't you?
Yes, for a short period there at the very beginning, I think you had to do kiosk for your additional fast passes.
You could do your three on the website, but you had to do your additionals at a kiosk.
Right, and so there's so much, that is another huge thing on this trip especially, was if you've got the My Disney Experience app on your phone, you've got such a huge advantage over... And there are plenty of other people who are doing the exact same thing, but there are a lot of people who aren't, and you have an advantage over those people because, you know, there so many of our fast passes, we would get on the attraction and I would immediately open it up and start trying to move forward the next fast pass that we had, right? So because you know, you have to schedule them out an hour apart, and you have to schedule at least, you no longer have to schedule all three if you don't want to. But if you're somewhere with a tiered attraction, so Hollywood Studios or Epcot, you still have to get all three out of the way before you can select another A-level attraction.
Hmm.
So I went ahead and had all three booked. But, you know, basically, when we get in line for Toy Story Midway Mania, I'm already sitting there trying to bump up my Fast Pass for Tower of Terror. I don't care that it's right now it's an hour apart. And something else is whether or not you see that there's... Like, the first time you open it, you might see that there is nothing until late in the evening, right? It's 12 hours away is the next available fast pass.
Right.
But if you sit there and you just start tapping the different hours, you will start noticing different times are loading. And so what I would do is I would sit there and I would tap, tap, tap until I got something that was maybe like 425. And then I would take the 425. And then I would go in, modify the time on that, and start tap, 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 tap. And maybe then there's something for 1230. And so I take that and then tap, tap, tap. And suddenly there's one that's 12, you know, that's 20 minutes away from when we're currently, you know, the current time.
Weird. How did you figure that out?
Being bored in line. So that became my new game, is to tap back and forth between the different times. And of course there are some attractions that's not going to work on because there's just nothing else available, and you definitely shouldn't take a later time on an attraction if you can avoid it. But you know, that was even the way that I was getting extra fast passes on things that didn't even show fast passes. So for example, Frozen, when I went to go get our second fast pass, there were no fast passes available, but I just kept tapping around till suddenly one opened up for 9 p.m. And I had no reason to want to be on there at 9 p.m. because I was going to be watching Illuminations. But I took it, and then I just started moving it and moving it and moving it. And suddenly it was, you know, 30 minutes away, which gave us enough time to walk over there. So
that's really crazy.
Yeah, and that didn't just work on the slow days. That worked on the crazy fast days or crazy busy days as well. So, if you start taking advantage of that, that's how you can get those 6 fast pass, 7 fast pass days. And you know, then you go wait in line. You're like, oh, why am I waiting? Why couldn't I just get another fast pass for this? But yeah, that's it. I don't think we could have fit nearly as much stuff in, especially not nearly as quickly, without taking advantage of that My Disney Experience app. And that was wonderful on this trip. I think the updates that they have made to that have made it much more useful, in my opinion.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So let's see. We are now sitting at probably something like 25 minutes into it. So I think we need to start talking some nighttime stuff.
Yes.
So before we get to the nighttime stuff that we both want to talk about, I want to talk real quickly about Rivers of Light, because we haven't actually talked about Rivers of Light. That was an attraction. That was something that I did without watching any videos.
Right. Yeah. Right? And I haven't either.
Yeah. We talked about it and we went, well, you know, I don't know, because there are so many people who are disappointed in it. And I just don't feel like I want to watch a video. And I asked some people online, I said, hey, is this something I should watch a video on? And I had somebody tell me, no, do not watch a video. It does not translate well. And after seeing it for myself, I would definitely agree with that. And by this point, most people have probably seen it on video. But if for some reason you haven't, go ahead and hold out, because I haven't watched a video since I've seen it in person. But I could definitely see why it would be not impressive at all to watch on video. But I actually really enjoyed it. Again, the amount of wait time that I had and everything may have played into that. But I thought it was a interesting show. It was a very different show from a lot of the other ones that are available, and it felt like Animal Kingdom to me. Which it's Animal Kingdom just has a different feel from the other parks.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what Nancy said. Well, I guess that's why they have all those Disney nature films, because there's a lot of water screens used. There's a lot of, you know, you're going to see a lot of animal video on the water screens. There's a lot that goes on there. And it's not a Happily Ever After. It's not a Fantasmic. It's closer to an Illuminations. But I would say even Illuminations is more easy to understand, perhaps, than what Rivers of Light is. But I don't think that makes Rivers of Light a bad show. And like I said, I was happy with it. I will definitely be going and watching it again. I don't know. Maybe in a month I will be better able to quantify what it was about it. But essentially, it's going to be a lot of boats moving around. It's going to be water screens, lasers onto the trees, doing cool little effects and things. But again, just all of the animal imagery, everything about it felt like this is an Animal Kingdom show. This makes sense at Animal Kingdom. This would make absolutely no sense and be stupid at Magic Kingdom, but somehow it fits beautifully with Animal Kingdom.
I'm happy to hear that it is its own thing, and that it doesn't try to be, you know, like, I don't know, Disney-fied. I think when we I think when we start talking about Happily Ever After, I'll be able to articulate what I'm trying to say a little better, but...
It's not IP heavy by any stretch.
Yeah, that's what I'm happy that it's trying to like be what it needs to be for the Animal Kingdom.
Right, and that's the thing, is Animal Kingdom in and of itself is not hugely IP heavy, as far as, you know, a lot of Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, all those guys in there, and that carries that on, and I think that really, really works there. But yeah, since you haven't seen any videos, I'm telling you, don't see any videos. Wait till, you know, 2021 when you're able to go back. and hopefully well before 2021. But when you go back, go and experience it in person. And you know what? If you've seen a video and you've been less than impressed by it, I suggest you actually go see it in person. And again, it's not my favorite nighttime show. That is still Illuminations, even with the nighttime show we're about to discuss. And it's probably still above Fantasmic for me, which Jeremy thinks is heresy. And that's okay. But with that, where does... So let me ask you this question. Where does Fantasmic fall now? Because there's a new nighttime show out there, Jeremy. And you've seen it on video. And
I have.
I feel like that's again, I don't feel like anything at Disney just is super, because none of it's been designed for video. All of it's been designed for you to experience in person. But that definitely is more video friendly than Rivers of Light. So
I think I can say without much, you know, hedging, that while Happily Ever After was amazing, you know, in HD on my 55-inch TV, it is not, you know, it just doesn't compare. I can tell from watching that video that show is 10 times more amazing than it was on the video. But where does Fantasmic fall now? I still think Fantasmic is my favorite. I have not seen Happily Ever After in person, but I still think Fantasmic is my favorite, if not for nostalgic reasons.
But now when it was... So you had seen both Wishes and Fantasmic in person,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But Fantasmic clearly won out over that. Was that also just nostalgia? Or do you think... So because then the next question becomes Wishes versus Happily Ever After. Where do you put those two at?
I have no emotional connection to Wishes.
Right.
I put Happily Ever After far above Wishes.
Mm. Well, I, with all of my emotional attachment to Wishes, enough so to go and take a trip, would still... I see the potential for Happily Ever After to eclipse Wishes in my ratings.
And there are things that I did not understand about Happily Ever After, like choices that I thought were weird and stuff like that, things I didn't like. But man, as a show, like technically, holy cow, what a production.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that was another one that you've got to, you know, it's the new main nighttime show, so you're not going to not see it. But sure. I'm so happy that I got to actually see it in person and didn't really, you know, I kind of knew because I'd seen pictures of the different art renderings, and I'd seen the pictures of the spotlights being used. But going in more or less, naive to what was going to happen was great, man. Getting and just again, like initially I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give this a fair shake. And then they start with the spotlights going. And I'm like, okay, so spotlights are the way we're gonna cheap out. Like, I thought the spotlights were really cool looking, but I was thinking, okay, spotlights are the way that we're gonna cheap out on fireworks. Like, we can use less fireworks by doing spotlights. And then, yeah, I didn't keep count or anything, but I felt like there were a significant amount of fireworks that were still going on, you know. And just,
definitely.
Geez, the projection, though, I will say, at least from seeing it in person, there were the projection on the main tower was really, really blurry. So I think maybe they needed to get something, you know, something still needed to be figured out there, but... Other than that, projection looked awesome. And the way that stuff happened in projection started on the screen and then went out from that. So, you know, like when Mulan is shooting off the...
Yeah, dude.
the mortar or whatever, and it, and all of a sudden it comes out of the castle.
They sync fireworks to video.
Yes.
And it's that was perfect. Awesome. It's perfectly synced. It's crazy.
And somehow that show is so chock full of IP.
Yeah.
But yet I'm completely okay because that's the Magic Kingdom. Right. I am totally cool with that. And I loved it because they had so much IP on there that doesn't really get covered in the parks.
Yeah.
You know, especially things like Hunchback and and being able to cover some newer stuff like Moana, having that on there already. And like the crowd was digging that stuff. There were so many cheers when the Hunchback scene started.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm pretty sure people wanted to see that.
I'm pretty sure we saw the exact same production of it.
I would, like, yeah, because I know I'm they were recording sure the video, the opening night.
The video that I watched was opening night. So, okay, I took some notes. Can I go through the notes that I took and have you like comment on them a little bit?
Absolutely, because I took notes.
My first note on it is Holy Castle projection. Like, I do not understand the amount of not only projection, but masking that they're doing. I cannot even fathom how many projectors they're using, how many computers they're using. There's a scene right after the genie it's the like finale of the Aladdin portion. It starts with Aladdin, it ends with Aladdin.
Right.
And there's a rocket that blasts off, and the main spire of Cinderella Castle becomes the rocket. And they made it look, at least from the video, they made it look so convincing that the tower was leaving the castle itself. And then for the rest of that section, that tower is completely masked off from any video perfectly. So it's not dark because there's obviously a lot of ambient light from the fireworks and from the spotlights and stuff. But comparatively speaking, I mean, it's as if it's not even there. And just the amount of masking and all of that stuff is incredible.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, even though it's still there and there's still lighting on it, because everything else is so bright, it can trick your mind into thinking, yeah, that's gone. You can lose yourself in the illusion of what's going on. And,
it's just a gray shadow.
Yeah, yeah. And with the projection being what it is, you know, we actually watched that show in the hub, and I would like to see that show again from further back, because we just being on the back side of the hub, honestly, I felt like we were too close to take a lot of stuff in, because, you know, that projection is stretching the entirety of the castle, even onto the sides of the castle.
Right.
There is stuff going on now. And yeah, it's just like, I feel like I could watch that show four or five times just to take in everything that is going on, because projection is happening all over the castle. It's different stuff going on in different parts of the castle. So yeah, it makes it a lot more kinetic, I think, than maybe what Wishes was. Well, not Definitely. Maybe, than what Wishes was, period. Yeah.
So another note that I had was that this show is not going to be nearly as good from the California Grill as Wishes was.
I would agree with that, because
I think Happily Ever After is much more dependent on you being able to clearly see Cinderella's castle and be way more, and it requires you to be way more intimately involved with the production than Wishes did. As long as with Wishes you could hear the music and see the fireworks, I feel like you were getting maybe 90% of it. But I think it would be a very, very different show from California Grill with Happily Ever After.
Yeah, and the problem is I'm definitely going to have to watch Happily Ever After a few more times from Main Street before I'm going to be willing to go do California Grill or the concourse viewing or anything like that. But I do want to see it from one of those places. But yeah, I agree with you. It's more of a 90% Wishes, and maybe, what, 60% of it you would actually get from one of those spots. Because, I mean, yeah, there are still fireworks involved. But again, so much of it actually requires you to see the castle to really take it all in, which not only affects being able to see it from there, but also from, you know, being anywhere else in Magic Kingdom and being able to still see the nighttime show, as it were.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Castle is now extremely important in the overall show.
So Happily Ever After also feels much more like song-y than Wishes did. Wishes soundtrack felt a lot more like the soundtrack that you would create specifically for a production like Wishes. And Happily Ever After feels a lot more like, you know, they took a bunch of songs, you know, from movie soundtracks and from the radio even, and mashed them up into a soundtrack for their fireworks show.
Yeah. And you know what? They did it really well. Because
I think it's a good thing. It's much different.
It's way different. And, you know, when I heard the new soundtrack for the Happily Ever After, and I don't think you and I discussed it on the podcast, but I think you and I discussed.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it off air.
Because we wanted to give it a fair shake and watch it first, but both of us kind of went, that doesn't really sound like a fireworks song. Doesn't sound like a nighttime show song. And I'm still, at this point, I'm still not in love with that song the way that I am with the Wishes soundtrack. But again, I think that's just because of the emotions, the nostalgia that's tied to the Wishes stuff for me. But overall, I think the music worked really, really well. But at the same time, I don't know, because if you heard the majority of that sound outside of the title, you know, the title track or whatever for that show, other than that, you're just hearing bits and pieces of different Disney songs, right?
It was very Fantasmic, in that, like, Fantasmic has a lot of kind of mashed up and joined together Disney songs from movies. And I felt that vibe a lot from hearing the Happily Ever After soundtrack.
But again, I think, you're in Magic Kingdom. I don't really think there's something inherently wrong with that in Magic Kingdom. Now, if this is Epcot or if this is DAC, then yeah, there's a problem. But I think it works great there. It could work great at Hollywood Studios, whether that's totally Fantasmic or their fireworks show. But yeah, I agree that it's way different, but also really good.
Okay, I have one last note, and this is going to be, if you are sensitive to spoilers, I'm going to describe a little bit what the castle looks like at the end of the show. So now is your opportunity to skip forward a couple minutes, because I'm going to talk about the very end of Happily Ever After. The castle at the end, when they start to introduce the gold trim stuff, that looked, from the video, that looked unbelievably real. Like, it was bright. It had its own luminosity. Like, I could not believe how realistic that gold trim looked through all of the different, they cycle colors through all of those different colors and everything. I could not believe. I was dumbfounded at how real that looked. And then at the very, very end, like 2 or 3 minutes after the show ends, when all of that stuff just kind of drips away off the castle and the spotlights kind of fade, you know, they kind of pivot down and every, you know, like, okay, it's over, we're shutting down, and it all just like goes away, and then none of it is there. You know, there are no real metal shapes that we're, you know, projecting light onto.
That's all projections. So.
I was completely blown away by how different they made that trim look from the rest of the castle. Was incredible.
Yeah, and it plays that well in person, you know, just like it does on the video. And you know, I think back to whatever the Christmas production was that they were doing over at Hollywood Studios. Remember when they had the artist renderings of the different stuff they were going to be projecting on the Hollywood Theater or on the Chinese Theater? Yep. And we said, that looks awesome. But at the same time, we know that's not real
images. But how could you get it bright enough?
Right.
It was not, my thing.
Yeah, and it's not going to look that good because you're not going to get it bright enough, and those surfaces are not designed for that. And I don't, you know, I actually don't, I don't think it's that good over there.
Yeah.
In comparison to how amazing they have got, and again, it's just the amount of money that they have thrown at projectors and everything else to get this looking the way that it does is,
I mean,
absolutely incredible.
I mean, talk about a surface that's not meant to be projected on. It's hard enough to project onto a projector screen and make it, you know, be bright and vivid and high definition and all that. But to project onto a building that is made to look good during the day it's astounding.
Yeah, and then, you know, and what I like is they're not just using projection. They're using projection. And then there are times when lasers come into play,
mm-hmm.
when they need those pinpricks of light that they know are going to work better like that, or they want that, you know, that through the smoke type laser setup. You know, they're using so many different technologies and just together so well that, oh gosh, yeah, that's just a great, great show. And, you know, I did find it amusing that probably the biggest cheer that I heard in that show was not for Hunchback of Notre Dame, was not for any other, you know, thing that was shown on the castle, was not when the show started or ended. It was when Tinkerbell flew again. Because, like, you knew they weren't cutting Tinkerbell out of the show.
Yeah.
You knew Tinkerbell was not going away with wishes. But, you know, I think you could kind of feel the, well, but they might, and will they? And, like, just everyone was so excited when Tinkerbell flew. That, again, I think that was the biggest cheer I heard out of the entire crowd that evening. And I was right there.
As it should be.
I'm not hating on anybody. But, yeah, you know, again, I think compared to Wishes, it is not quite there for me yet. But the only thing that's holding it back is nostalgia and just the memories that I made watching Wishes that are not there. But even then, I found myself being moved by the different things going on in, you know, Happily Ever After. And I love the way that, you know, for example, the love section, if you want to call it that, of it, was not just about, you know, romantic love.
Yeah.
It's about love of the family, love of, you know, what, like, oh gosh, what are the characters' names in Up?
Carl and Ellie.
Not Carl and Ellie, but Carl and the kid.
Oh, Russell.
Right. So Carl and Russell are shown there as, you know, and just the relationships and the closeness that comes from all of these different types of relationships. And I do feel like that's definitely an expansion from what Wishes was. Not that Wishes was totally romantic, but it was much more heavily, I personally felt like it was much more heavily weighted that way than what this one was.
Yeah. I will say, my living room got a little dusty during the lanterns from Tangled.
Mm, yes.
It was dusty in my living room.
Was your wife maybe cutting onions in the other room?
Yeah, they got a little choked up on that one.
Yeah, I get it. But yes, I am, I am not, you know, I'm still sad that Wishes is no more, but I think that they have a worthy successor to it, and I am excited to go back again in the future and to get to see Happily Ever After. And, you know, the fact that I don't get to see Wishes because of that, I'm okay with, because Happily Ever After is such an amazing show.
Well, all right.
We're done. We have no other trip stuff to cover. So next week we will be back to our normally scheduled programming unless you guys have any other questions about the trip, in which case I'm always more than happy to talk with you about it.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.